This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Voices Carry by Till Tuesday, a little mid-80s pop hit in honor of the ripple effects of the closing media session.
So you wrote a piece, and you sort of suggested you would, or were working on it already when we talked to you yesterday, where you interpreted, pulled up some things that were said in the media session, and nine quotes, and what they might mean, or what they interpret them a little bit. But before I get to those nine, we did have John Morant yesterday on social media. So while we're interpreting quotes, he says, "Be careful what you wish for."
Some classic Josh cryptic quote where you could read absolutely anything in the world into that you want to read into it. It could be about anything. I don't know.
It could be about Dame Lillard choosing to go leave Portland someday, right? Like it could be about that.
Yeah.
But isn't the logical thing to say that it's about people who are saying he should be traded or the big three should be broken up? Isn't that the logical speculation that it's about that? And, oh, you people want me out of here. Be careful what you wish for.
Well, most people who I've talked to or seen assume it's a reference to a Tim McMahon quote in a podcast that got circulated on social media.
God.
And John Morant sees that circulated on social media. And that is about the prospect of Ja being traded this summer. Right.
Yeah.
So that is the most common assumption that I've encountered on that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to yours. Because I found the most, they're all interesting, but the most interesting one was a quote that even when I first heard it, I had no idea what it meant. And I could interpret it totally differently. And it's from Zach Kleiman. "I wish we could snap our fingers and have some gritty veteran wing. We're not one gritty veteran wing away from winning a championship."
Yeah, it was a personal affront to me is how I took it. Because that's sort of that's what I say they should basically try to do. There's sort of different ways to look at that. I just think, and I'm sort of an outlier on this, I just think the winning the championship thing is boilerplate to me. That's just not how I think about it or talk about it. But that's how you're supposed to think about it and talk about it. And so that's what he says. To me, what was interesting about it was it seemed to suggest, because the path of least resistance is just bringing the whole team back. But nobody thinks they should do that. Beyond that, the path of least resistance is like bringing it all back and trying to add a meaningful piece to it. And the most meaningful piece you could reasonably add to it would be a gritty veteran wing, right? And so for him to raise that path and then sort of knock it away, and maybe I'm overinterpreting, which I might be, but that really raised my sort of antenna about are they gonna do something bigger, you know, than that? And that's what I wonder about.
Yeah,
if they don't think the one supplementary piece is enough to quote unquote win a championship. Of course, I don't know what they think. You know, they're going to do to put them in position to win a championship next season if it's not.
Well, first of all, a couple of things you were saying. I do think you joke that it's a personal affront to you,
right?
One thing we saw.
Man, someone else texted me and said I also took offense to that.
Well, one thing we did see in his comments was a reflexive defensiveness about all kinds of things, right? We saw him say, some people said we should get younger. No one asked him about that.
But there's another performance that happens.
Yeah, that's what happens. Sure. I haven't been critical of it. It's just he brought that up he brought up the being younger without being asked about it. He brought up the gritty guy, the dogs, without being asked about it. And here he brought up the gritty wing. So I actually think he was responding
to criticism in the air,
in the universe.
Not to criticism that had come at him in the room. Yes.
The second point that I like that you made is that, of course, the goal here isn't to win a championship.
Well, it is the goal, but it's a tautology. Of course, your goal is to win it. Everyone's goal is to win a championship.
The goal is to get better, and maybe the way to be better is to add a veteran wing, right? But then I was left with two interpretations because I was in one way you could say it meant we have to do some serious excavation here because we are not one wing away.
Right.
The other way is that it's sort of what we need to do here. We're one, not one winning away. I don't, my failure to get a wing is not, it absolves him from getting the wing right. or from having gotten the wing. And so it could mean,
well, he got him and it didn't work out.
Yeah. Or whatever. Right. Not getting the wing this year at the trade deadline. And it, and says, we just still have to grow this team. We got to get Zach Edey to get better, and we have to. We got to water this team. Right. Yeah, like water and let it grow, and then we'll add the wing away there, when we get to be one wing away.
I mean, there's something to that. The problem there is that if your idea is you're keeping it together, but you're not going to go all out to add the one piece because you're not one piece away, and so maybe it's going to take a couple years. Blah blah blah. That's rational, but Morant, Bain, and Jackson are now, they're going to be in their age 26, 27 seasons. It was 25, 26 this season. It'll be their age 26, 27 seasons next year and making like north of $100 million right. combined. And that's a low number because when Jared gets on his next deal, it's going to get a lot bigger than that. And that's when it is kind of like, you know, it is sort of now time. And if it's not now time to quote unquote win a championship, it's now time to be in the mix.
Right.
You
I
know?
See. So, this is talk radio, so we do things like literally George and I each predicted whether who would be the coach and whether the big three would be back. And sure. We both in the end said Isla will be the coach, and our level of conviction of that was 7 out of 10, and the big three will not be back, and our level of conviction there was 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, who knows. But I do think there are so many things that could...
I'm going to go higher and lower.
Really? So which would be your...
I'm going to go 8 on Isla will be the coach.
Okay. We said 7, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm going to go 5 on... I really think it...
No, we said 1 and that we think it's a coin flip. In other words, 1 is our level of conviction that they won't be back. Our beloved is in our own personal prediction that he won't be, that they won't be back is a little low because we don't have any idea. That's what the 1 meant to us.
Okay,
what does the 5 mean to? Yeah, what's your?
If the range is they will definitely all be together or one of them will be traded. Yes. I'm sort of dead center on
right.
that.
Yeah, that's it. Basically, okay. That's where we are. We're right. sort of yeah. Our level of conviction that what I'm guessing is we have no idea. In the end, there the things that could force the breakup are this right. One of them wanting out.
That's all. This is the NBA, and that is always a possibility.
The financial constraints.
The Dallas Mavericks traded Luka in part because they didn't want to give him the Supermax. And so, right. I mean, I love Jaren, but he's not Luka. Right. And so, sure.
And then branding, internal dynamic, whatever that, well, that
just
thing
your
is.
Sense that need to your sense it, that as right. you did with your head coach. Maybe you just decide, okay, this has run its course, and we need to shake it up.
There you go.
That would be the
third. Aren't those
the
three
third
things that yes. could sort of force this
yes.
apart?
Yes, a player says, I want out. It's time to shake it up from my perspective as a player. B, we don't feel like this works in terms of our team strategy going forward based in part on the finances and based on the but in part on the finances relative to the quality of the player, right? And then the three, like, it's run its course, we need to shake it up. All three of those things could very possibly happen. And the fourth thing is like, no, we still believe in this. Let's keep it together and let's run it back and make it better. But he didn't pound right. the table and say that.
Right. Okay, so on the Isla, where your conviction is pretty high that he's going to be back, I thought one of the, and I isolated some quotes here that sort of suggest that. One was one we talked about yesterday, was just Ja's enthusiasm for him.
Yeah, I thought Ja went above and beyond. When he said it was exciting, he didn't need to say that.
Right. But I also thought, and you highlighted, and I'm trying to find it here, a Pippen quote about, I feel like Isla is a coach that instills confidence in me, trusts me. I feel like once he got the job, I kind of took off. It's a striking quote, goes on from there. It's a striking quote because he also raved about Taylor Jenkins, who saved his career and gave him a chance and all of that.
Right.
And then to say... I don't know. What did you make of that quote? And
if you go through the arc of the season with Scottie Pippen, I mean, there was a point mid-season where Ja's missing games, and Pippen at that point had started. Remember the game they went back to Chicago, his first time in the United Center where his dad played. He started. Yeah. Ja's out. He scores 30 in that game. Right. His best game of his career. Well, even at some point after that, even when Ja was not playing, Pippen was falling down the rotation. They were starting Kennard. Had this period in the middle of the season where he was really popping. And Jenkins was leaning into Kennard Bain as his backcourt. Kennard is the third guard in that guard rotation. And it was after accidental relation, right? It might be correlation, right. Not causation. But after the coaching change, he did elevate back up, and you get to the playoffs, and like Pippen starting with Morant and Bane, not just starting when Morant's out, right?
Right.
And he has these two big games. But it also relates to the style of play stuff where, you know, the idea of getting of sort of, you know, propelling your small guards into attack mode, you know, off these bigs kind of thing. This sort of philosophy that sort of applies to Morant, Edie, also sort of applies to Pippen too.
Right. So, but then you also make the point, which I thought was really perceptive, was that the players that Kleiman highlighted or showed real enthusiasm in the way that he talked
voluntarily brought up. Right.
It was Edie. It was Pippen. Morant obviously came up anyway, but he was particularly enthusiastic about Morant and
Wells and Spencer.
Yeah. Well, that a lot of these guys, particularly in the case of Edie, Pippen, Morant, they flourished under Isolo.
Right.
Another reason to think that Isolo will be back.
Yeah, I really feel like, and we'll see with Morant. I think the team's preference is, you know, unless something changes, something external changes this, I think Morant will be back. I think Isolo will be back. Edie is obviously going to be back because, right, like, he's the second year of a rookie deal. And I think the sort of core function of the team, I'm not necessarily saying these are not going to be your two highest scorers or your two best players or whatever, but the core function that, like, sort of the energy core of the team sounds like it's going to be Morant-Edie interaction, Isolo directing that, and things are going to sort of vibrate or the heat's going to come off of that into other places, you know? Which makes it interesting to think about in terms of Bane and in terms of Jaren, who are better players than Zach Edie.
Well, and Jaren, you highlighted a quote where he talked about adaptability.
Yeah. And I think that is the story of Jaren. And that is, you know, you can sort of do a strength-weakness counterbalance thing. He's not, as good of a scorer as he's become, he has not been the, like, give me the ball, get out of the way, I'm taking over the team, this is my team guy. And you could think about that in a negative sense of, like, you know, where's the dog in you, you know, to say, give me the ball and get out of the way. But he is a total player. He's a player who's good on ball and off ball, offense and defense. He can be the guy who's the leading scorer in the game. He can be the guy who just does a lot of stuff and sort of is a glue guy. He can do all this kind of stuff. And so, like, the best way to deploy him is sort of in a team context is something for a coach to decide. But to me, it's sort of interesting because it relates to his willingness to be adaptable and take on different roles. But also relates to the question of, like, what you're going to spend on him relative to the role he's going to have on your team, right? And so if he's going to be sort of secondary to your core action, are you going to give him $350 million if he makes all NBA? There's a lot of questions there.
It wasn't a quote that you highlighted, but he was, I gather, quite enthusiastic about the idea of staying in Memphis, or said, like,
yeah,
more,
I mean,
than just the rote.
You had to push him
say
a few times, and he didn't really want to talk about the contract stuff. But when it got turned to, well, what, you know, what do you think about being in Memphis? And he basically said, you know, he was asked, like, is it important to stay in Memphis? And he said, absolutely, or something like that. Right. And then he had my favorite quote of the day where he said, you know, I live here. This is where home is. I'm about to go home in a couple minutes. That sounds great. And I said, I thought, that does sound great, Jared. I would also want to go home in a couple of minutes.
Did you go home or did you right there?
I went to Starbucks, which
you
is basically my home.
Second home, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he mentioned the gritty guys, and that was Edie, Pippen, Wells.
Cam Spencer, who is not
Cam
on the roster.
Spencer.
Not on the main roster. Although that's about to change, apparently.
You think they have real high hopes for Cam Spencer?
I think they have reasonable hopes for Cam Spencer in that I think he's going to be on the 15-man roster, and he will be in that, you know,
John Conchar role
where
yours is John Conchar in the John Conchar
role.
Right.
Like, I don't think they're going to plan for Cam Spencer to be in their every night rotation, but I do think they're going to plan for him to be on the roster and be a guy you can turn to knock down a shot and, like, you know, give you a spark of emotion and that kind of thing. And so I think he's a viable player.
But as you pointed out, omitted from that list.
And he'll be cheap, presumably.
Omitted from that list of gritty guys is the guy who a year ago would have absolutely been on anyone's list of gritty guys, which is Vince.
Yeah, he talked about Vince and Gigi in a separate answer, which was actually a response to one of my questions. But he didn't, and, you know, when people just start talking, like, you know, sometimes you forget to say something you wanted to say. I mean, I do this every day on the radio, right?
He just categorized them here. It wasn't necessarily a slur upon Vince's name.
And so the Vince thing is interesting to me because he does have those qualities, clearly. even though he had sort of a down season. He also, like those guys, is on a really good contract with the team. And to me, like, he should be in the same bucket. The Gigi thing is a little bit more curious or interesting because contract-wise, he's in that bucket, but you don't associate him with the gritty, like, you know, right. whatever. He also didn't bring up Aldama, and no one ever asked him about that. That was on my list of questions to ask him, and then time ran out before I could get to it. Will likely be a restricted free agent if they extend a qualifying offer, blah, blah, blah. But does also is not the guy you think of as, like, the gritty, tough guy. He's talented, but he's not that, you know?
In terms of Vince, though, what do you get the sense that they think? And what Vince was asked, and he attributed his relative ineffectiveness.
Yeah, I remember how the question was worded. It was something like, you know, last year you played this big role with all the stars out, and then this year, like, the stars are back, and it's harder to get into the mix, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he just said, honestly, it was just health. And I think I just think that's true. I think they were planning on him to play a big role,
right.
and he had the health thing. I think, and I am now sort of out on an island a little bit with him, but I'm frankly comfortable with that island. I think the weather's great. I just think he's good. I just don't have any doubts that he's good. There's levels of good, but I just don't have any doubt that he's good. And I think that he got healthy enough by the end of the season. And you saw it in game 82, and I know that it's a game 82, and no one's playing their guys, but he played like 30 minutes, and he looked pretty good in that game against Dallas. And I thought, given the matchup situation with the athleticism on the perimeter of Oklahoma State and the guys you had missing, he just should have been in the rotation from the jump. And to me, he's a guy, if he's healthy enough, you just throw him on the floor and you just ignore a mistake or two and let it go. And I thought he was really good in game 4, and I think he should be in the mix going into next season.
On Santi, what are the decisions have to be made around Santi, and how do you see there wasn't much said about Santi at all? Was Santi literally never brought up? Well,
Santi himself spoke, but no, Santi was not brought up by Isolo or Kleiman. Right. And again, it was on my list of questions, but time runs out.
Yeah.
Santi is, so the Grizzlies, he is not under a guaranteed contract next season. If the Grizzlies extend him a qualifying offer, which is you put a piece of paper in front of him that is for a set amount, and basically a paper that he could sign and take that money if he wants to, and that makes him a restricted free agent. That gives the Grizzlies the right to match other teams' offers if they make that initial qualifying offer. Now, I think you could reach a deal with him before you even get to that point, which is why I say he could be a restricted free agent. I think what happens is he becomes a restricted free agent, and then he negotiates with the Grizzlies to see what kind of outside interest there is. I just think that they can't be just letting talent walk out the door. And whatever the issues are with him, he is talented, and you need talent, and you also need, like, tradable contracts, like a contract slot disappears. Right. And so I think they should bring him back unless he just gets some stupid offer. And, like, who's he getting a stupid offer from? Because no one has cap space from Brooklyn. Are they going to offer him $25 million? I don't think they are.
It's one of the things that I think a lot of people may not – people who follow the NBA certainly understand, but the people who casually follow the NBA don't understand is they think, we don't need Santi. We'll get another player who makes exactly what Santi makes.
Yeah, you can't
– And how does it work in the case of Santi?
Well, it varies team to team depending on what your total salary situation is.
Right, for the Grizzlies.
If you are under the salary cap, there's a line. There's a salary cap line. There's a luxury tax line that's higher than the salary cap line. Now, if you are under the salary cap line and a player poof goes away, you have that money to spend.
Right.
If you're above the salary cap line, it doesn't work that way because it's not money you can't freely spend it if you're above the line. And so the Grizzlies are in a somewhat complicated situation with that this summer. They could be on different sides of different lines depending on the decisions they make. But it's not as simple as, you know, you could sign Santi for $15 million or you could sign someone else for the $15 million. That is not how it works.
Right.
I'm just making up a number.
All right. I think the only other one, and we mentioned this yesterday, was Luke Kennard talked about Memphis in the past.
I think he knows he's not going to be back. I suspect that that's probably been communicated with him. And frankly, I'm not opposed to the idea of Luke Kennard coming back because I think, and with all due respect to Luke, who's a good guy, good player, I think the kind of player he is at this stage of his career, I mean, when a kind of player, I'm talking about positional as much as anything else. I think he's probably going to be in a minimum contract or something close to that in the league next season. And I think he's a perfectly fine player on that contract for any team in basketball. But I suspect the Grizzlies, it sort of run its course a little bit. They got Cam Spencer, who's a similar kind of player. And
What was the highlight of the Luke Kennard experience?
Well, he had a couple big nights.
It's
Houston soon after he came, where he had the night where he hit like 8 or 9 threes, right, and everyone was yelling, Luke. Yeah, right. Yeah, that was
where
fun.
That started. Yeah. All right, Chris, I appreciate it. You can read the piece over at the Daily Memphian. We got Fish on Friday. Charles Fishen is coming up next. Before then, I will tell you and remind you, if you are selling your home, that you should call Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147. Josh and the team at Keller Williams Realty, among other things. If you don't want to go through the whole rigmarole, you can do what Kyle and Amanda did. They had a house. They didn't want to go through the whole rigmarole, fixing it up, listing it, showing after showing after showing, all of that. So Josh came over and they gave him an instant cash offer right there on the spot, full value of the home. And then they had 4 months to leave, which is, you know, an easy way to do it. One of the things that Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty can offer. Again, the phone number is 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman. He's our man in Washington, D.C. Charles is the author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, most recently, One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also, 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing. And a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand joins me now with the sad news. Jeff, Charles, I saw this on Twitter, actually. Iran tweeted that their brethren, the Houthis, had destroyed one of our – this was a glorious, glorious feat by the Houthis. They had destroyed one of our F-18 fighter jets, and Iran was literally tweeting about this earlier today.
Well, it's an interesting interpretation.
That's what I thought.
It's an interesting interpretation of what happened. I want to pause, though.
Oh, of course.
I often want to pause at the beginning.
Yep.
And wish one of the biggest fans of the segment and the show, but really the segment, happy birthday. That's Andrew K. Fishman.
Oh, your brother.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Up there in Boston.
Happens to be my brother. Literally listens to the segment every week and sends a review. But I don't. Some reviews I share with you. We have another.
Is it ever scathing? Is it ever scathing?
The review is only ever just one encomium after another about his older brother and what a great performance. I didn't send him anything for his birthday because I've been swamped the last 4 days.
So you think this will pass? You think this will pass?
He said, as long as you don't miss Fish on Friday on Tuesday tomorrow, I'm good. So there you go. Happy birthday, Andrew.
Great.
Thanks for listening.
Does he object when I interrupt you? Is that one of his, does he object?
He has the occasional comment about
As
you,
I just did.
He appreciates, he's my little brother.
Right.
He does not mind you trying to thump me on the head
He actually knows things about sports. I should have another Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, and have Andrew on, and I can actually talk intelligently about sports.
You could have him and Peter on, and there would be some. He is the Fishman. I'm the only Fishman who's ever mowed a lawn. And I do mow my lawn.
Really?
He is the Fishman.
What a privileged group.
My older brother knows a lot about sports. My dad followed sports. It's not fair to say there's no sports fans, but Andrew knows Andrew knows a lot of it. I am the only Fishman to ever mow a lawn.
That's pathetic on the part of the Fishman, I have to say.
Most people would say that we're providing gardening professionals with business.
Are you going to tell me about the F-18? Are you going to tell me about the F-18 or not? You're just going to let Iran claim credit for this?
I had this queued up as my first item.
Okay.
So it's amazing that you were willing to ask it, that you asked about it separately. That's the coincidence of good planning. Yesterday, the crew of the Harry S. Truman backed an F-18 off the deck and into the Red Sea.
Oh, hell. Boom. Oh, hell. Don't.
Now, here's what's interesting. Right. Listeners know I'm interested in birth rates, fast food, Jay Powell. I am obsessed with this specific kind of incident, which is the crew of an aircraft carrier backing a jet off the deck into the drink. Because, I mean, that's a hard call to have to make. You know, you
it
make
is a hard call to have to make.
We banged a tug into the jet engine and it needs to be repaired. The wingtip of one plane scratched the tail of another. Sir, Admiral, bad news. We lost another one. What'd you lose?
Don't we have a lot? You think how long before anyone would ever notice that it went missing? You know?
Well, just, that's an interesting thing.
Just don't tell anyone.
They have 90 of them. They have 90 of them on this one aircraft carrier. Like, that is literally more.
Yeah, what do you own 90 of that if all of a sudden you had 89, would you even notice?
Lost, you wouldn't. Right. Here, I'll tell you why they would notice. Each one of the F-18s is assigned to a pilot.
Okay.
And if that guy got the rest of the crews off, he's just sitting around. He didn't have to fly. Somebody would notice. Anyway, tough deal.
How much do they cost? How much do they cost?
$67.5 million. And you know, the U.S. government doesn't carry insurance. So we're what you call self-insured.
Right.
So there's 130 million families in America. We each just coughed up 50 cents.
So like, hey, Jake from State Farm and say, happened?
Where can you get your own fighter jet for 50 cents? Anyway, here's what was happening. We are attacking the Houthis because the Houthis are attacking us.
Yeah.
Seems
fair.
Believe it or not, you're going to be surprised what I know about this. U.S. aircraft carriers, including the Harry Truman, cruise at 35 miles an hour, 30 knots.
Okay.
If you're water skiing in the summer, you're going about 25 miles an hour.
Right.
They go so fast that you can water ski behind them. And they're an aircraft carrier. And they maneuvered sharply to avoid an attack by the Houthis. And
oh, that's why? So there was a reason. So
can you be quiet for a minute?
Okay.
This is what the Navy said in their official statement. The crew lost control of the jet while maneuvering it. It was under tug. That, you know, we all know what an airplane tug looks like,
yeah.
Those low tractors.
Right. Yeah.
That they attack. And so the ship maneuvered. And the tug and the jet got away from the crew. This is only funny because everybody jumped clear, including the one or two guys driving the tug, may have been women. They jumped clear.
Probably was women. I'm joking. That was terrible.
Oh,
I'm going to be fired now. That's it. It's been fun, ladies and gentlemen. I've had a good career here. It's been a lot of fun.
Fired by the female owner of Odyssey. That's
exactly right. Go ahead.
The crew, quote unquote, took immediate action to move clear of the aircraft before it fell overboard. Oh, what a moment. Oh, what you would say to yourself if you just.
Sounds like there was a lot going on, though. It wasn't just like they just screwed up. Like,
no, they didn't.
Like
back
when Claire backed into her minivan into something.
It happens, believe it or not, it happens about once a year.
Okay. We're never going to get to another topic if we don't move on.
There's a form.
Okay. Amazon, yeah, there's a form, lost jet in the water form. Drop the jet in the water form.
Over the edge.
Okay, Amazon is...
one over the edge.
What's Amazon going to do, Charles?
Amazon was reported this morning by Punch Bowl News, which is one of these new kind of hip write first and report second kind of news sources,
okay,
that Amazon was going to include on the purchase page of every item the tariff cost of that item, which, frankly, I mean, we reported on the vibrator company and the bathroom hardware company doing it. Why would Amazon, probably the second largest seller of products from China.
I mean, when I check out of a hotel, I know how much is the local tax. I know how much is the this. I know how much is that. Why wouldn't I want to know how much is the tariff?
The bottle of water you drank, right, from this minibar. No, I think it absolutely should be there. And then, literally 45 minutes later, the White House denounced it. What's the name of the White House spokesman? I can see her face, but I can't remember her name. She called it a hostile and political act at 9:30 this morning. I heard her live because I was in the car racing to get back from New York to do the show. And then literally half an hour ago, Amazon issued a statement.
They're not going to do it.
Saying they were not going to do it.
Oh, there you
go. So that's interesting because for a brief period, Caroline Leavitt is the White House spokesman. Mm-hmm. For a brief period, Amazon was the consumer hero. But this may not be quite what it seems. It says the team that runs our ultra low cost Amazon Haul store,
ultra low cost,
H-A-U-L, has considered that for certain products.
I think
in the end they may well do it, but they didn't like being denounced.
So Who does? UPS? Bad news from UPS today?
Who likes being denounced?
I don't.
Yeah, some people. Badge on.
Depends. I guess it's who's denouncing you. Who's denouncing
you? Let's be honest. Who's doing the denouncing?
Who's doing the denouncing? That's what matters.
This was really bad news this morning, and straight from the horse's mouth. UPS is laying off 20,000 workers. Do you have any guess how many people UPS employs? We have said this on the show. So it'll be interesting to see how closely you
No work. Idea. No idea. George, this is your first opportunity to make
George.
A guess at how many people UPS employs.
UPS, of all companies.
Mm-hmm. Lots, right? Because they got lots and lots of people.
If they're laying off, Charles, you said 20,000 they're laying off?
They're laying off 20,000.
They're laying off 20,000, yeah.
Toss at the dartboard. 1.5 million.
He said 1.5 million. I was going to say 400,000. Go ahead. What?
400,000 is close. George, the largest employer in the U.S. is Walmart. They employ 1.5 million in the U.S., 2.3 overall. UPS is at 320,000, which is a lot.
Now, or they were now they're 300.
They're laying off. That's what they employ now. They're laying off 7%. So not huge in terms of percent, like we've had. We've had Southwest announce 15% layoffs, but
did UPS say why?
A real company.
Did UPS say why?
Yes, they said there are two reasons. They said they decided to stop delivering so many Amazon packages. I believe because of the demands and what they get paid, and
right.
So they're scaling back their Amazon business. They said
didn't FedEx already do that? Like or. At some point, I think, yeah.
FedEx and UPS stopped, yeah, but that was Amazon, not FedEx.
Okay.
And that's why this is important. It's important. And then they said we need to be positioned for the most dramatic impact on global trade in 100 years. And this is going to help us do that. They're also closing 73 facilities across the nation. They have a lot. But the other thing is that when UPS makes a change like this, FedEx often does as well. So, and by the way, that happened on a day when UPS profit was announced, far exceeding expectations. So companies are getting ready. Companies are getting ready.
I saw this one list. Charles sends me a list, George, of things that we're supposed to talk about. It's the only segment on the whole week that anyone actually prepares for. And it's Charles who prepares for it and sends me the list. There's something that says buy now, pay later. It sounds promising to me. I like that way to go through life. What are you talking about, though? What is this in reference to?
You surely know what, but do you know what buy now?
I mean, I know it's sort of self-explanatory.
Like Klarna or something.
You
like
buy
that?
Now and you pay later.
Well,
you buy something on a. They used to do layaway plans. Stores used to do this, you know?
Yeah. Okay. You're often now offered the option when you check out digitally.
Oh, right.
You divide your purchase into four equal payments, and you pay one of them now, and the other three.
Yeah, I've never done that. What's the deal there? Are they?
That's called buy now, pay later, and it's 0% financing. So if you want to buy a microwave and you'd rather pay for the $60 microwave $15 at a time, then you can do that. Amazon has that at checkout on many of their products. Lots of places have it. The bad news is that in a survey late last week. Well, the interesting thing is 50% of Americans surveyed have used it, which is
really?
Interesting.
Have you used it? Have you ever paid later? I always just blow right by it. You know me, man.
If I can't afford it, I don't want to buy it. I believe in paying.
But I also like you like keeping your money as long as you can so it can earn money for you.
Like
and if this is 0%.
And this is zero interest.
Right.
Zero interest if you make the payments. 25% of Americans surveyed report using this for their groceries. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't finance your groceries on credit. Please don't. Now, I hope
some people are in a damn tough spot, Charles. They can't afford. What if you can't feed your kids 1 week?
25% is in some people. I hope what this is a sign of is some people come to the end of the month or the end of the pay period, they're getting paid on Thursday and it's Monday or Tuesday, and it would really help to buy the $100 in groceries with $25 and pay the $75 on Friday or Saturday. I hope that's what that's about. It's up from 14% who used it for groceries last year. That's the problem right there. So I hope that's not a sign of anything but cash flow.
Why do they do this, by the way? If it's 0% financing, why do they offer? What's the advantage here?
It's not what's the advantage. It's how do they make money?
Yeah.
The retailers pay them a fee. You know, retailers.
Because people are more apt to buy something if they can do that. So exactly. It's a way of getting exactly. That's where the money. That's
exactly.
Where the money, I see.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And then there's a percent of people who don't fulfill the contract, who don't make the four payments. And once you miss a payment, you know, then they start slapping on the charges. They're adding a $10 late fee to your $15 charge, you know. So that don't do it if you're not going to make the payments. They do not forget. The interesting thing is at the complete other end of the spectrum, the same news. Survey out late last week on interest in purchasing a private jet. Just in the last 4 weeks, interest in purchasing a private jet has fallen 49%. And it's apparently because of fear of tariffs. Now, what's interesting, and I
know where you can get one. It's a little water damage. There's a little water damage to it, but you can get it cheap. Your jet.
It's an F-18. Very nice. Yeah. You need a
sorry.
Good...
Maybe it was a little obscure.
Connecting the elements of fish on fire.
Right. Well, I try to pay attention to the whole show.
There's something called the Barclays Business Jet Indicator Survey.
Okay.
And we may have to dip into this each month now. Here's the interesting thing. This is what separates the buyers from the non-buyers. My interest in purchasing a private jet has not changed in the last month. I would love to buy one.
You would? every month I see some horrific story about a private jet that crashed, and I don't really want to buy one. So anyway, I want to make sure we may get to RFK in a moment. I want to make sure we get to, because it's really intriguing to me, something about the Subway Doritos footlong.
Subway's got a new footlong. A new footlong. We've done the footlong cookie.
What is this one?
Churros. Subway has rolled out Subway Doritos footlong nachos. So it's the name is actually as long as the product. Subway Doritos footlong nachos. They've got a footlong box. It's really a tray, a slide out tray that's completely covered. That is baked nachos. You get they do nacho chips. Then they put cheddar cheese sauce and Monterey cheddar on it. Then they toast it. Then they pull it back out.
Is there bread involved in this, or is it just nacho chips?
No, just nachos.
Okay.
Jalapenos, tomatoes, red onions, and Baja chipotle sauce on top of the warm nachos and warm cheese.
I see.
And you can add chicken or steak.
It's like our barbecue nachos here in Memphis, except for it's Doritos nachos and I see
you. What would you pay for?
Here we'll give George another shot. George, we'll give George and see if he can get closer this time. George, what do you think it costs at Subway?
I'm gonna go $8.99.
$8.99, Charles.
Wow, okay.
I'm going $12.99.
What's your guess, Jeff?
$12.99.
No, $5.
Wow. It's like a side.
That's a value.
It's a side.
Adding the chicken or the steak adds $2. Let's go for the calories, though. Without the chicken and the steak, what do you think the calories are? You're getting your money's worth on the calories.
George?
1,200. 550 calories.
550?
That's it? This is a value. This is
my
steal.
New diet. Yeah. It's cheap, and it's going to make me slim. This is fantastic.
I read a bunch of great value. Of this. So you got the nachos, the two kinds of melted cheese, jalapenos, tomatoes, red onion, Baja chipotle sauce. One person wrote that because they don't trim down the red onions or the lettuce, it's a little like or the chicken like playing Subway topping Jenga. I love that. Subway topping Jenga to keep everything on one chip. The reviews are really interesting. People said, it's overwhelming. I doubted I was going to like it. and I ended up using the last chip to scrape.
I'm sure I would like it. I have no doubt I would like it. What the hell is not to like about that? Sounds delicious. Okay, we do have time. Tell me about RFK.
Yeah, I knew you weren't going to like this one. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yeah. is our health.
Why is his voice the way it is, by the way? Do you know the answer to that? Why is his?
I don't. I looked it up once. He has a condition that causes him to croak like that. And it's a rare moment of universal compassion across America. Nobody makes fun of that about him. Now, the reason is because there's so much else to mock, like his understanding of health, for instance.
Right.
He's taken to saying in speeches that when his uncle, that would be John F. Kennedy, was president, the rate of chronic disease in America was 3%, and now it's 66%.
Okay.
And I'm bringing this up specifically to tell you, if you hear this, that it is, there are only curse words.
Which of those numbers are correct? Are either of those numbers correct?
66% is correct, 66%. But technically I have a chronic condition. I have high cholesterol. I take medicine every day for it. That if the condition lasts more than a year, it's considered a quote unquote chronic condition. Anybody being treated for high blood pressure has a chronic condition which is being treated. In fact, data from his own agency available right there on the internet, at least today, shows that during 1963, the last year of his uncle's presidency, in the official statistics, 44.5% of Americans that year had chronic conditions, and we're much better at finding them and treating them.
But isn't it also true, Charles, and maybe I should have gotten this earlier, we're so much fatter, we eat so much worse, that I imagine that diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, all those things, and if he's calling attention to that, is that not, that's an accurate, I imagine that is true.
Why don't we call attention to it with facts instead of with made-up stuff?
Well, that's why we're here, Charles. That's why we're here.
And you know what? You know what? All you have to do is go to a mall, go to a stadium, go to a place where Americans gather, wherever it is they gather.
All you have to do is look at
go to the airport.
Film from the 60s, and all those people looked slim. They looked freaking tiny relative to now.
In fact, it's rare. In those days, it was rare to find anybody as fat as you often see, as overweight as you often see, just routinely out in public now. And if you look at those pictures, it is rare in our era to see anybody who is that slim, which is kind
of course, they were all smoking.
Anyway,
there was that. We got to get out of here, Charles. Thanks very much. See you later. Charles Fishman, people. Cut him off. You got to just drop him. You won't stop talking otherwise. You just got to get rid of him. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it. On Twitter, at C. Fishman. What is coming up next, George?
At 11:25, Jason and John are joined by Jessica Benson at 1:25 with the great Brevin Knight. And Jeff, you are joining Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, buddy. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. Work is done.